Coffee.
Charles McLean was installed as the colored manager at the Royal Theater in Philadelphia in 1938. This is the husband of Shincy Howard, actress and member of the Lafayette Theater Company for about 5 years. The Royal Theater was originally built by the Quality Amusement Corporation, a colored concern, and was operated by them for some years. After that, it passed out of their hands and into the hands of many different persons and organizations. Most of the parties who owned the theater had in the past used colored managers, but lately the policy was changed. White managers and assistant managers were brought in who had varying degrees of success. There was some reaction on the part of the public on an organizational level to the quality of movies that the colored audiences were exposed to. Such a group as the Colored Consumers Union, or Consumers League, which was concerned about the kinds of movies that were dumped into movie houses in the black community and wanted to have black managers to hopefully in that way improve the quality of the shows brought in by the managers into the theaters. Charles McLean, who came originally, I guess, from New York City, came to manage the Royal Theater in Baltimore. Mr. McLean was in the theatrical business for some years, and he also handled some talent, did actual bookings for some individual talents, and he talked about, there's an article he talks about, he was in the theatrical business for some years too, and he, at one point, I believe, handled the contract for the Nicholas Brothers. I seem to remember reading that someplace. Mr. McLean was involved with theatrical management, theatrical work for 17 years before he took over the Royal in Baltimore. He's been connected with the Royal, the Palace, the Standard, the Lincoln, and the Nixon theaters, all of Philadelphia. He's a member of the Stifel organization, which owns the Royal Theater, has owned the Royal Theater for in 1938 for the past 2 years. Mr. McLean was also a booking agent at one point. He brought the first all-colored pictures into Baltimore several years ago and was outstanding as a box office success. He discovered the Nicholas Brothers.
He's been on the streets of Philadelphia.
Shincy Howard met Charles B. McLean while she was traveling with the picture house behind the Cedars. He was at that point, he was the manager of the Royal Theater, where the movie house on behind the Cedars was shown. Sam Langford,
who was a boxer.
Yes.
I don't know whether he had retired from the ring or was still in the ring. But anyway, this is the brute. Apparently, this film did very well for him. It had a great deal of excitement, and it was apparently one of the more professional-looking films that he did after The Homesteader. I think this is 1920. Maybe 1919. Mm-hmm. And this again is from The Brute.
That looks like The Cometh there.
A Becometh Here is it. And right, and I don't know who the actress is, the woman. This is The Homestead, his first movie, and woman who stars, I have to get my notes because there's so many actresses' names, and I sometimes forget.
Of course.
Let's see. He apparently got a number of known actors appearing on this early movie. Let's see. Charles Lucas, Iris Hall.
Iris Hall.
Evelyn Freer.
Evelyn Freer. Iris Hall, yes.
Now,
I never met her.
This can't be. Is this Evelyn?
It doesn't look like Evelyn to me.
Now, I don't know who this actress is. I just found these particular photographs, and I'm not quite sure who.
I don't know either. I couldn't spread
it. Anyway, she plays the role of the white girl whom he falls in love with on this homestead.
Yeah.
And he leaves the homestead because he feels he cannot, consummate a relationship with a white woman, and goes back to Chicago. But at some point or the other, she comes to pursue him in Chicago, and she finds out from her father that she is not white, she's Negro. And her mother, whom she vaguely remembers, was a Negro. Her mother. This again is The Brute. And
now that picture looks altogether different from the one with their hair hanging down on the side.
Yeah, now here in The Brute you have A.B. Kamathia, Alice George. That looks like it might be Alice George. This is Alice George. That's an actual credit on the film itself.
Are you calling her Georges or Gorgeous?
I thought it was George. Is it Gorgeous? G-E-O?
No, it's spelled here Gorgeous.
And I mispronounced it. I didn't look at it that closely. You're right, G-O-R-G-E-S.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous, right. And here again, this is the homesteader again.
Yeah.
And this is... part of the conflict in the plot is that one of the other homesteaders, who is white. I mean, all the homesteaders except for Jean-Baptiste, I think he was the only colored homesteader there, has an intense hatred for the involvement that he said, or for this guy, because Jean-Baptiste has hired her brother to work on his. He's the only one around who had money and a job for somebody. He hired this boy to work for him. And it sort of brought out the southern background in this particular actor for that sequence. Now this looks like Alice Ward.
That looks like the same girl.
I guess it is then, Alice George. I haven't seen a Roy Fry yet.
Freer.
And this is an outdoor scene on the homestead.
That's where I was going to stand beside the porch. He must have thought of that scene.
Right, if you can't ride and stand beside him, let people's imagination rest. Again, this is the homestead. This is the. This is within our gates.
Within our gates.
I think is within our gates.
Now, see, these are all bringing in. I have heard of these, you see.
Now, Within Our Gates was an interesting movie because it dealt with lynchings. And there's some correspondence from the police department in in New Orleans, Shreveport, New Orleans, that demanded the film be pulled because they said in these trying times it might incite a riot. There were apparently in the film there were several lynchings. And this is the Homesteader. And that's the late...
It's Inez Smith.
Inez Smith.
Now, you know...
Now, that's the young girl, and that must be her in the... Oh, I can't do these backwards.
No. Well, honey, you know what? I, as of this moment, I'll say this. I thought that Evelyn Prior made movies after I did. I thought she was on the stage before I came up on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she worked for Michelle before I did. I don't think
so. You think
so.
She worked before 19?
I don't think so,
1920?
Well... Well, now for...
That's interesting. Her name is listed as one... Now, she is in Within These Gates, because this is an ad from a newspaper.
Okay, now what date was that?
Within Our Gates is 1920, 1921. I'll get you a date for that. Within Our Gates.
1920, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it's... William Starks is in it with her, Maddie Edwards, and E.G. Tatum.
I'm so glad. I heard that word Starks. Now, I'll tell you something about that later. Another Starks.
Mm-hmm.
Starks.
Also, S.T. Jacks, hyphen Grant Edwards, Flo Clemens, Jimmy Cook, and Charles Lucas. Charles D. Lucas. Now, Charles D. Lucas is mentioned in my correspondence as being one of the well-known.
Well, I'll give it to you now. That name does ring a definite bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Okay.
This is Within Our Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not able to identify any of the people here.
No.
It's of interest because Michelle was criticized. This is on a contemporary level, with historians writing about it now. And this whole period of films, that they were totally unreal because they didn't represent white people in them. But in a number of Michelle's films, he also used people, if they were not white, they looked white, and they played a white role in the film.
Uh-huh.
This is supposedly a scene in the South, and the man in the middle is to represent a white Southerner.
Yeah.
Because the story behind Within Our Gates is the treatment of blacks during by their masters, their white employers. And here again, Within Our Gates.
That was a famous pose of his. He would have us holding our cheek.
Many a time. Right, you don't recognize her.
No.
I have to look through these again. Here is another slot from Within Our Gates. And here it gives you some.
There's Michelle.
There's Michelle up in the corner.
There he is. Bless his heart. Yep.
That looks like Evelyn Prior.
Now, of course, is that the same person?
It must be. She's a leading lady.
This front view of her there looks like Evelyn Prior to me as I remember her. Go on, dear. You will argue that,
no. Now, these, as I said, I just got, and I hastily mounted them last night so I could show them to you. I'll show you some of the other stuff which are...
That was a very beautiful film.
Yeah,
She could sing and she could dance and she could act. Gifted and was a sweet, sweet person.
Her career was initially on
the stage.
On stage.
Yes.
Do you know whether she continued on stage or the same time she was doing films?
Well, you see, I didn't know her when she was doing films. I only knew her when she was on stage.
Oh. Oh, geez,
so she married Eddie Thompson. Yeah. You have anything on Eddie Thompson?
Eddie Thompson, he was in Hollywood, wasn't he?
He was where?
He acted in a couple of Hollywood movies.
I don't think so. I don't remember him.
Not a dancer?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He was from, he was from Indianapolis.
Maybe it's a similar name.
His father was editor of the famous newspaper out there. I think it was called Freeman's, wasn't it? A famous newspaper from out there, colored newspaper, and his father was editor.
Hmm.
All right.
This is Wages of Sin.
That's Wages of Sin.
Lorenzo Tucker, Catherine Rosette, and A.B. Comethea on the extreme left.
Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say it had to be the right.
Yes.
And he's very young there, it seems. What's
and
the girl's name?
Catherine Rosette.
Catherine
Rosette. N-O-R-S-E-T-T-E.
And what's the other fellow's
name? Lorenzo Tucker.
That's Tucker.
Yeah. I was a young couple. He was known then as the Rock Valentino. Yes.
I pulled that one out for you.
Yes, yes. And this is Ethel Moses, who is the sister of Lucia Lynn Moses, who is the actress I was talking about earlier. I mean, the dancer I was talking about earlier, who plays in Star Show. I'll show you her. She's in here too. One of the things that I object to in this book that I showed you is the reference to Michelle as having made lurid pictures.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only slide that I've seen of that nature. He did have a certain amount of sex and so on in some of his movies, but you could hardly call them X-rated films.
No.
They were not of that caliber. Well, he was much more interested, I think, in telling a story. And this is Lorenzo Tucker and Ethel Moses. Is a more demure Ethel Moses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this one, Daughter of the Congo, is also Michaud's. And this is not, this I have a date for as 1921. Also, you'll see another slide of it that has, and that's a later Lorenzo Tucker. He also played the gangster Heavy Rose in Michaud's pictures. He used him quite a bit in the 30s, as a leading man. He says he was with the Lafayette Stock Company also.
Well, you see, you had a Lafayette Stock Company there in New York quite a number of years before 1921.
Yes, yes.
Quite a number.
Anita
yeah.
Bush, 1919.
Yes, it had to have been
before
1919, yes, dear.
Yeah, she was already on tour, but she went as a child actress.
Mm-hmm.
With, now wait a minute. It's very hard to pinpoint her age because she tells conflicting stories.
Oh, yeah.
She did when she was still young.
Mm-hmm.
She at one time she went to Europe with Williams and Walker.
Oh yeah.
Group. Now that had to be.
That was years before my time.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That had to be
yes.
before World War One.
That's the way I used to wear my hair when I was in.
Yeah. Now this is Pearl McCormick, and she also appears in, and that's Rex Ingram on the other side.
I'm going to say now his face is familiar to
that's
me.
That's Rex Ingram.
Yes. And what was that?
That's 1927, and it was a promotional thing. I don't know what film it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But Michelle often used photographs of known actors as selling devices for his, yeah, his pictures. Mm-hmm. The theater managers would buy this film based on the names in it. And this is a musical he made, Home After Midnight. And here's Dora the Congo, pulled up. He's Lorenzo Tucker. Is in this, get this any. Dora the Congo, that's Catherine Loisette again, Lorenzo Tucker, Clarence Reed, and Willie Guilford.
Say that last one again.
Willa Lee Guilford, G Y L F O R D. Now, I'm not quite sure whether that casting is correct,
mm-hmm,
those names associated with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Lorenzo Tucker and
yes,
Catherine Loisette, mm-hmm, but I don't know for sure. The other woman is Willie Guilford. That's, of course, Paul Robeson. That's the Emperor Jones,
yes,
1933.
Yes.
Frank Wilson, who's with a hat on the left. He was in one of Michaud's pictures, the same one that, I believe it's the same one Juan Hernandez appears in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a western. Herb Jeffries. That's another western. Another western. Herb Jeffries again. This is much later. This is the 40s. That's later.
Did he ever film 10 Nights in the Barroom before?
No, he didn't film that. That was done by the Colored Players of Philadelphia.
Ah.
And I think it's 1927. And Charles Gilpin.
Stars. I'm trying to call his name out.
Yeah, Charles Gilpin.
He was a splendid actor.
Yeah, he was a Shakespearean actor.
Yes, indeed he was. Yes.
That film has been found, but it's not in.
Okay.
It's in, you can't project it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's. It happens sometimes with material that's been stored for years.
Yeah.
This is Lucia Lynn Moses,
mm-hmm,
the sister of Ethel Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a dancer at the Cotton Club. This was the first and only picture she made.
Mm-hmm.
She was so disinterested, as a matter of fact, in this particular movie that she never bothered to see it.
Oh.
She saw it for the first time in 1972, I believe it was,
mm-hmm,
when I had that television program, a 90-minute show in which we showed clips from Scarlet Shane and some of the other movies, and she saw herself.
What do you mean?
Call the station.
Oh.
So we had an 8mm. Print made of Scar saying so that she could see it. Last time I talked to her, she still hadn't looked at it because she doesn't have any more projected. Now there, the guy standing up is Henry Henderson, Harry Henderson.
Harry Henderson, yes, yes. And you say he's still living?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. Beyond this one movie, I don't know. I think he's not in Tonight's in the Barroom, and he's not in Children of Fate, which is another movie they made.
Ooh! Ooh! That's ringing a bell. Go on.
Uh-huh. Now, here's Pearl Prunice with Harry Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Hollywood film. This is the first film that Clarence Reeves starred in. Hearts and Dixie, which was 1929. And it also has step and fetching in it. Now, Daniel Haynes, this is a Hollywood movie, Hallelujah, mm-hmm. which was done again in 1929. Mm-hmm. They were released within a year of each other, not within the same year. Madeline McKinney was in this. And it's again, here's Madeline McKinney. Mm-hmm. And William Blake is the place hot shot. Yeah. Some of these are going to be upside down.
Mm-hmm. Now you have no date on that Children of Fate.
Children of Fate, 1926. I think it was made before. I have to look that up too. Uh-huh. It was probably made before Scar of Shame, which is 1928.
He had some interesting titles, didn't he?
Yeah, now...
Ages of Sin.
Yeah.
Brute!
Yeah, well, he borrowed, he made use of, which also makes him a very interesting film person, because he made use of some of the important Negro writers of the period. C.W. Chestnut, he talks about trying to interest Du Bois in writing script. Now, I don't know how much of that is you know, his own ego talking, but unlike most of the other black producers during the same period, he was attempting to do things with you know, with the other arts in terms of bringing in people who were novelists mm-hmm. and important writers. Yeah, there's Anita Bush.
Yes.
This was in her stage career. She did on stage a sort of cowgirl act, which was only coincidentally the same as the only movie she ever made. I mean, the outfit that she's playing a cowgirl. This is the Crimson Skull, which was the first black western. Mm. This is 1921. Everything is 1921. That's a bumper year for films.
Oh, about that.
Lon Chenault is in this. And there are some other people who I have heard of. There's Bill Pickett, who was a rodeo. Star, Steve Reynolds, who was also in rodeo, and then there was a host of cowboys, all from Boulder, Oklahoma. This is Lon Chenault on the right, and it's a Mexican-American actor whose name I don't know. Miss Bush couldn't remember who he was, but he apparently made one or two pictures with this same company, the Norman Film Company. This again, and this was shot in Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, the company is from Jacksonville, Florida. And there's another photograph of Oscar Michel. The Veiled Aristocrats. Lorenzo Tucker. This is later, I believe, than God's Stepchildren was 1938. And the Veiled Aristocrats must have come. I'm trying to remember which was the first all-talking picture he did was in The Exile.
must have been done 1930.
Yeah, 1931. And many of the same actors are in this launch, you know, Lorenzo Tucker, Walter Fleming, Laura Bowman. Now she's an interesting person, Laura Bowman.
Go on.
She stars in she has an important role in another film he made in 1938 called God's Stepchildren. Plays Aunt Carrie.
I played with
her. You did?
Yes, indeed.
And she crops up in a number of Michelle films. Now the guy pointing his finger at the girl on the top, mm-hmm. that's Carl Mahone. Mm-hmm. He was a principal in New York Public Schools, retiring when I first met him. He moved out west to be with his son.
Mm-hmm. But I only played with her and her husband. On the stage.
Oh.
At the Lafayette Players. She was with the company number two. Uh-huh. And her husband's name was Fitzpatrick. And I've been trying to think of their names and trying to think of his name. He said Bowman. I said Laura Bowman. I can't think of her husband's first name, but his last name is
Fitzpatrick. Oh, his Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Here she is again.